every day, me and you. The Good News and Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good News and Shoes.
Welcome back to the Victory is Assured broadcast with Kurt Owen. For over 25 years, Kurt Owen has been helping people worldwide learn how to live victoriously by applying the promises in the Bible to their everyday life. Today, Kurt Owen is starting a new teaching on knowing and believing the love of God and how knowing and believing He loves you can cause you to win every time. Let's listen in.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome to Victory is Assured. Thank you so much for tuning in. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God. And there's a lot that we've covered, and so I strongly encourage you to go to KurtOwen.com, KurtOwen.com, and listen to the broadcast. Go over them and feed on them. Now, in particular, we pointed out that you must know and believe the love of God. It's not enough to know about it. You must believe it. Well, I think part of believing is that as you begin to grow in understanding. And so what we've been doing is studying about how God sees love and about how you can expect God to treat you. So it's not just knowing about God's love as a concept, but you're actually seeing it in action and seeing it being able to work. So we've been looking at Luke chapter 15 is what's commonly called the prodigal son, but I like to call it the loving father. And we're going to go over a couple different things today with it because this is important. But let's start again in verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So that he divided to him his livelihood. Not many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession on prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17. But when he came to himself, remember you got to come to yourself. In order to help anybody, they're going to have to come to themselves. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's house and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Now, again, I think it's important to realize that this young man has ended up in these problems because of the choices he's made. He's chosen not to live the Father's way. He's chosen to live his own way. And so it's messed his life up. Now, it says, verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." And so now again, I want you to see the love of God. That God is not waiting for you to prove that you've gotten your act together. Because at this point, not even words have been exchanged and the father is running towards him. No, what is happening here? The father sees him, sees that he's made a different decision and the father is going to help him and he runs towards him. He hasn't heard a word. He hasn't heard any of his little soliloquy about what a dog he is. None of that, right? He's just seen his son, has made a change, come back, and he's running towards him. This is what you can expect from your heavenly father. Don't think he's up there demanding you be good for a while and things. Now, he goes on here and he says this. He kissed him, and his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to be merry. Now, the son starts in on this religious hogwash about... Now remember what he wanted to say. He wanted to say, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the king's servants. Now, he starts in on it, and he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father doesn't even listen to that garbage. Doesn't even listen to that trash. Not listening to these words of self-debasement. It is not impressive to the father at all. Now, how do I know that? Two things. One, he never acknowledges it. That's one. Second thing, before these words were ever spoken, the father ran towards him. He wasn't looking for him to put himself down, to talk about what a dog he was, talk about what a worm he was. He wasn't looking for any of that. Any of that at all. Okay? The father was completely unimpressed about it. You sitting there telling God what a dog you are is stupid. Because you're not majoring. You're talking more about you than you are about him. And this isn't a you story. This is a Jesus story. Lord, I might have made some mistakes, but you gave me your righteousness. Lord, I might have made some mistakes in sin, but your blood has cleansed me of all unrighteousness. Even right now, you'll help me. Now, this comes into another important thing. Because one would say, well, why did he run away from the father? Well, evidently, he didn't like the way the father lived. He didn't like the decisions that the father had made. He thought life should be more fun. It should have more parties, and that it shouldn't take all of that. And those decisions, those life choices, took him to a place of being broken and broken down, right? But that was not what the father wanted for him. The father didn't put him there. Father didn't put him in the hog trough to teach him that he was better. Because a lot of times people say, well, God did this to you to show you that he was right. No, darling. No, that's not what happens. No, your stupidity got you in the hog trough. Your bad choices got you in the hog trough. God didn't have to put you there to teach you. Your own decision was taking you there from the start. And so, but when he comes back, does the father say, listen, and honestly, this is the way I pictured God for a while. Listen, I see you're back here at the house, and that's good, but this is what I'm going to do. Right now, we don't know whether you're going to stick with this. We don't know whether you're going to leave tomorrow, get another wild hair. So this is what we're going to do. You're nearly naked, but we're going to give you a burlap sack, okay? We're not going to give you a robe yet, because really right now, we don't know whether you're going to follow through. We don't know how good you're going to be. And so we're going to give you a burlap sack. Now, if you're really good for 2 weeks, then we'll give you a robe. If you're really good for 4 weeks, we'll give you a better robe. If you can be good for 6 months, we'll give you the best robe. And he puts a ring on his hand, right? He said, that's the next thing. Now, notice this, what the father does. Bring out the best robe. He's not having to wait to receive the father's best. He's made a different decision. He's repented. Why is it that when you sin and you repent, you think somehow you're going to have to prove to God you're serious? Don't you think he knows that? And notice here, the son did not have to prove to the father he was serious. He just turned around and came back. And the father's like, bring out the best robe. Bring out the ring. Now, the ring was the family ring. It was the signet ring. It was to testify that the boy was his son. He's not disowning him. He's saying, you are mine, and you're just as much mine today as you were yesterday. I love you. My love for you has not changed. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Boy's walking barefoot. This is bad. He's lost everything. And he's not asking the son to prove his worth. He's not asking him legalistically, prove that you love me. Prove that you stand with me. See, and notice this. He wanted to be gracious to him the entire time. He wanted to be good to him. He wanted his son to have the best robe. He wanted his son to have sandals. He wanted his son to have the ring the entire time. It was the son that rebelled against it. It was the son that said no. It was the son that said, no, I know what I'm doing. But this is where, when the father was trying to teach him about life, this is where he wanted him to exist. This is what he wanted him to have. He wanted him to have the best of life, and the son did not have to earn it. It was not about earning it. It was not about being good. It was about understanding that you belong to the Father. And that when you made the mistakes, you could turn around and run back to the Father. Now again, the Father, while he's in the hog trough and while that's his choice and why he's away from Father's house, he does not chase him and give him the best robe. He does not chase him and give him the ring. He does not chase him and put sandals on his feet. Because if your choices take you to a place you have no robe, you have no sandals, you have no ring, and you have no food, right? Then what? He respects that choice. Until you make a different choice, he does not try to undo it. But the Father's love wants to bless you. The Father's love wants to do good for you. Completely apart. Now notice here, he has not had time to earn it and to do good. But the Father, the boy had to make a decision that he trusted the Father. The boy had to make a decision that he trusted the Father's ways. You know, today is offering broadcast. Offering day on the broadcast, right? Where we give you all an opportunity to give. And I want to share this with you over here in Philippians chapter, let's see, it'd be Philippians 4, probably in verse 15. And this is what it says. It says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Now notice, with giving, there should also be receiving. It says, "For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessities." They're taking care of him, even in a prosperous city. Now notice in verse 17, "Not that I seek a gift, but I seek fruit that abounds to your account." What is Paul saying? He's saying, listen, I know that it's important that you give, but I also need you, and I want you to know that your giving does take care of things for me. But the reason that I'm wanting you to give is because I want fruit to abound to your account. See, this is no different than the prodigal son and the loving father. The father wanted him to have the best of life, but he needed to make right decisions in order to walk in it. The father was never withholding from him. As soon as the son made the best of the decisions, he received the best of everything. He didn't say, listen, I'm going to give you good enough. See, when God asks you to give, and when I ask you to give into this broadcast to become a partner, it is not because it's just that we want to pay for broadcast. We seek that fruit will abound to your account, both here and in heaven. This is an opportunity for you to increase your income. When you become a partner with Curt Owen Ministries and you make it possible for us to give away all of our free materials and things like that, every person that is helped by that free material is on your account in heaven, and I want that for you. I also want you to be able to partake of that when you give, that it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So that your income is never dependent upon the economy. It is never dependent on whether there's a famine in the land or not. But no, you are in Father's house, and you can live free of the famine because you've chosen to trust God and do what He says to do, which part of that is giving. So I'm going to ask you to become a partner with Curt Owen Ministries and be a part of changing the world with us so that fruit can abound to your account. Not only will it increase your income, but it'll put rewards for you in heaven. Michael's going to tell you how to do that right now. Thank you for giving.
All of us here at Curt Owen Ministries are excited about you taking advantage of the opportunity to become a part of something that is so much bigger than any one person. Simply text the term KOM Partner to the number 44321. Then simply put in your name and the amount that you want to give. Once again, simply text the words KOM Partner to the number 44321. Your gift will have a life-changing impact on people around the world. Curt Owen sincerely desires that fruit abounds to your account. Your return and your reward will be now in this time and eternal. Text KOM Partner to 44321 and help Curt Owen change the world. Tune in the same time every weekday for a continuation of the teaching, Knowing and Believing, the Love of God with Curt Owen.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers